Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jay Lethal, the undisputed champion of the wrestling world.
This is John Sullivan.
It's Babs Ayegbusi.
Michael Thompson talking. It's the phenomenal AJ Styles.
Jay DeRosa.
Charles Johnson.
Psycho Killer from Austin, Tampa.
This is Matt Blair. Thank you for listening to Sportscast Radio.
Sportscast Radio.
Welcome to Sportscast Radio.
The most anticipated NFL draft in recent memory is about to get underway.
Now, you guys ready to get started?
Bang!
He's 6'6", 220, making those moves in the open field.
The Jacksonville Jaguars select.
Yeah. They're not picking anyone, guys, because I played the wrong damn intro.
Jordan Davis.
Jordan Davis.
It wasn't Jordan Davis.
It was Trayvon Walker.
Trayvon Walker. Yes, I always get them mixed up because they're both Georgia dudes.
I know we're going to be jumping right into football here in just a moment. We have Brandon Croce. We're going to have to get him to pronounce the correctly so we won't butcher it the next time like a bunch of dickheads. He's going to come on from Buffalo Down talking about the Buffalo Bills. Hour from now, 9:05, Mike Luciano comes back from the Ebony Bird talking Baltimore. We got Luke on part-time daddy duty tonight, so he'll be jumping in and out, which means, Elijah, when we finish talking Buffalo, we got to talk Garcia Haney because it's going down tonight, motherfuckers.
Oh, God.
Jose Ramirez right now is wearing the weirdest kabuki teeth mask and has the worst hairline I've ever. If you would have seen Petrius in 2005 when he had a half head but dookie braids, that's what this man is rocking. He looks fantastic.
That doesn't sound fantastic.
Oh, we just lost Luke. That's what I thought was going to happen. And now the DAZN is glitching. And Joe Martinez just keeps saying, to my left, to my left, to my left, to my left. Oh, never mind.
Are you watching Undisputed?
No, I'm watching the Haney Garcia pay-per-view.
Mm.
Do you want me to turn it on Discord while we're on?
Sure.
I have the sound off. I'll turn it on after the show.
Did Luke just say something now. In the background? Okay.
I'm back now. I got kicked. Ryan kicks me.
I didn't kick you.
I knew I heard that snivelly ass voice from somewhere.
That's right, you did.
I got your ass. All right, it's in the Hangout tab if anybody's on the Discord with us. He's got a dope ass. He looks like a Mortal Kombat character, bro. I'm retracting a lot of my statements, bro. He looks tight.
How do I turn the sound off on this?
I don't think you're going to have sound because I have it on mute.
I just heard myself talking.
Oh, you have to. You just want to mute your microphone then on the bottom of the screen.
Okay. I think
I'm
good.
He looks kind of cold, man. He looks kind of cold.
Whack. He looks like a whack-ass Aaron Black. with the whack ass mask. Aaron Black.
I've never seen this guy fight before. You got anything on Jose Ramirez here?
I don't know shit about Jose Ramirez. I just
watch
heard
when he turns around, bam, look at that hairline.
Whoa. There's another Jose Ramirez who's pretty good, but he's in a higher weight class. And I don't think this isn't the same Jose Ramirez that I'm familiar with.
Bro, you know how much Vaseline they got to put on his face to help for cuts?
You'll never find.
Man, what?
Brum, a hairline like mine.
God. your shit's all fucked up way back here. Yes, sir. So we got that going on in the background. But Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia coming up a little bit later. But let's knock that out here. Let's get directly into our draft coverage as always. Brandon, you with us, sir?
Yes, I am. How you guys doing?
Oh, we are doing tremendous. Excited to have you on, talking some Buffalo Bills. Real quick, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself for all of our listeners, where they can read your stuff online, social media. You know, plug everything you got real quick. Since we haven't had you on before, I'd love to know where everybody can read your stuff.
Yeah, so Brandon Gross at BuffaloLowdown.com. I've been the site expert there for about 4 years now. That's where you're going to find all of my work.
Heck yeah. And, you know, as somebody, we I'll tell you right off the bat, we're stationed in Minnesota. So you guys have had for the longest time someone that's been near and dear to our heart with the Minnesota Miracle. I'm sure you know where I'm going with this. But I got to ask you right off the bat, Stephon Diggs is out the door. What does that do for this draft? Does this mean focus goes right to wide receiver, or, you know, something like this in such a big move? Where are you guys going right off the bat?
So I'm probably in the minority here, and you guys might not believe me, but I had a feeling all along that the Bills were going to trade Stephon Diggs this offseason. I thought it was going to be after June 1st with the way that the cap worked out that way. So I think they were already going to have a contingency plan in place. They were going to focus on wide receiver. I think it gets a little bit more urgent now with it, with him officially gone. So I think that wide receiver is still going to be in play. I don't think it's necessarily a lock that it's going to be in the first round with how deep the class is. But I think by the end of the second round, they're going to have a wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, wide receiver is a big need for them. It also seems like they just kind of – the Bills did kind of like a wholesale, like just kind of getting rid of guys. I mean, they got rid of some of your D-backs – defensive line. Like, it just seems like this draft, I think they set it up with this draft being how deep it was that they figured, like, this is probably now the time that we can shed some contracts and get rid of some guys and fill some holes in this draft, because it doesn't seem like it's just wide receiver. It seems like you guys have a pretty fair amount of holes to fill.
Yeah, I mean, I think that last offseason they were trying their best to keep the band together, per se, to give it one more run. It didn't work, and they realized that they got old real fast, and they had to get rid of a lot of players who have been key factors for this franchise for the last seven so years. But while they were big names, Tre'Davious White, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White really hasn't played much over the last 3 years. He really hasn't been a factor. With the addition of Rasul Douglas around the trade deadline, Christian Benford, I think, is very underrated. I think they have a lot of confidence in him. Cornerback's not as much of a concern, I think, with the way that this roster is structured. They'll look for depth. They'll probably draft someone day three. And then with the safety position, they did bring back Taylor Rapp, and they have Mike Edwards. I think that it was the way they structured it in free agency and leading up to the draft, I think they didn't really have to force themselves into drafting a safety. But if one was to fall, like a Cooper DeJean, who seems like a carbon copy of Micah Hyde coming out of college, I don't think that they would hesitate to draft something like that in the first round and then have the chips fall where they may.
Do you think a lot more emphasis is going to go on Dalton Kincaid now, you know, coming in? This will be, what, year three for him? And you're going to need somebody to kind of anchor in this offense. Or is there somebody else you can kind of see that could step up and really start grabbing some of these balls now that Allen's going to sling all year?
Yeah, I mean, surprisingly, it's only year two for Dalton Kincaid. It feels like he really grew.
Yeah, 2023. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, that second half of last year, he really came into his own with the Dawson Knox injury. He was one of Josh Allen's trusted targets. But, yeah, I mean, I think that the ascension of a Dalton Kincaid, even a James Cook out of the backfield as a receiver, they have some young talent that can kind of pick up some of this slack, and I think that's one of the reasons why you hear a lot of talk of them going up into the top 10. I don't really see that happening. I don't think they're going to sell the farm for a Rome Odunze or a Malik Nabers. I think that they're pretty confident with what they have. They brought in Curtis Samuel, who his best year was this final year in Carolina when Joe Brady was his offensive coordinator. So Joe Brady knows how to use him best. Khalil Shakir was a very sure-handed receiver down the stretch. I think he had something like an 85% catch rate over the last 10 games or so. But, yeah, I mean, the whole key to this offense is going to be Dalton Kincaid, and if he can take that next step and really be that top target for Josh Allen.
So put your GM hat on here. I got this question for you. So if you're the GM of the Bills, I always like to ask guys that we have on this, who are the two guys in the draft that you would target that you would want to pick absolutely if you had the chance to?
I think number one, again, I've talked about how I don't think they need a wide receiver, but I could very easily see them moving into the middle of the first round to get a Brian Thomas Jr. I think after those top three, Brian Thomas Jr. is that clear number four wide receiver. I think he's one of those final ones that can develop into a number one wide receiver. I like his game. I think he fits well in this offense. Taking, again, some of that pressure off of Kincaid, really, they can be a nice 1-2 punch. I think the other one that I'm looking at, and this is probably, let's say they go wide receiver in round one. In round two, you're looking at a Marshawn Nealand, defensive end. He was extremely productive in college. I think he would fit very nicely into the rotation with Greg Rousseau, AJ Epinesa, and see whatever happens with Von Miller coming back this year.
Do you see anything maybe potentially if it would line up, I guess you could say, maybe a move to try to get somebody like a T. Higgins or another player that's draft pick from another team?
In an ideal world, yes. I mean, I think – I know that a lot of people want to talk about how the Super Bowl window has closed for the Bills. I don't necessarily see that. When you have Josh Allen under center, I don't think the window's quote-unquote ever closed. I think it gets very hard to get to a Super Bowl when you have an inexperienced number one wide receiver. So going to get a T. Higgins, a Brandon Ayuk, something like that, I think would make a lot of sense. I would love to see them give away their first-round pick this year to do that. I would have no issues with that. The challenge is the salary cap. And right now, the Bills, I think they're under $5 million. They're going to get $10 million when they after June 1st, with the Tre'Davious White release and the way they structured that release. But for them to make a trade now, they just can't do it because they have to account for that 20-plus million franchise tag for a T. Higgins or the $14 million salary for Brandon Ayuk. So I'd be very surprised if they can figure out a way to work around the salary cap to make a trade like that happen.
So another kind of – quick question for you. Who is a sleeper that you would like the Buffalo Bills to pick, kind of like an under-the-radar type of guy that you don't necessarily see them picking, but someone who you would like them to pick because you think they'd be a good fit and not a lot of people are, like, talking about that person going to Buffalo?
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the things that's a little underrated in terms of a need, and I don't think it's talked about much, and that's because they're probably going to address it on day three in the later rounds of the draft. But Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin, I mean, I think he would be a perfect complement next to James Cook. It's going to take some pressure off of Josh Allen running the ball. He's just a big-bodied running back that's going to move the pile, pick up those short yardage, third and ones, goal line touches. So adding him into this offense gives them just more versatility out of the backfield, and I think that's someone that I think would be just a perfect fit for this offense.
You know, and you mentioned running backs, and I was going to kind of go that route. I was thinking a little bit too is, you know, there's not – it doesn't feel like we have that, you know, Bijan Robinson style that we've had last year with, you know, getting a first round or even a late one like a Najee Harris. But it seems like there's a lot of those Friday guys or even Saturday for that aspect. And obviously you mentioned kid from Wisconsin as one. Is this something you can see, though, as a definite, we got to just get a body in there as another running back with just having, you know, three on the depth chart, I believe?
Yeah, unfortunately, they only have three, and they're basically all the same type of running back between James Cook, Ty Johnson, and Darrington Evans. So, yeah, I mean, I think that it's going to have to be addressed at some point. I know a lot of the free agent signings they did last year was after the draft. They signed a Leonard Floyd after the draft. They signed Latavius Murray after the draft. So I think that they're, it's not a very pressing need, and I could also see them very easily going through this draft if Allen doesn't fall to them or their Trey Benson. Like, obviously, Trey Benson is going to be like a round two, round three guy. I could see them going, like, getting a Zeke or something like that just to get 5, maybe 10 carries, take some pressure, take some work off of James Cook. So I think they're going to be very flexible in that regard, and I don't think they're going to necessarily shy away from a free agent if something doesn't work out in the draft.
You know, and you mentioned too, which kind of intrigued me, the whole people are saying, you know, Buffalo's Super Bowl windows closing or closed, and I agree with you, as you said, with Josh Allen, you always are going to have a shot. But it does intrigue me with the fact that the Jets, barring what the quarterback looks like being healthy, you know, if they get a Brock Bowers, they're just going to be better. Miami seems like they keep improving every year. I mean, who cares about New England, right? It probably feels good to say that. I know I personally am happy to say, who cares about New England? But, you know,
for someone who's grown up as a Bills fan, I'm very happy not to worry about New England after dealing with them for 20 plus years.
Well, you kind of had to see, you kind of,
I've always had the beef too, because I was a Drew Bledsoe guy. So when he got bumped out by Brady, I was like, well, I got to get a Bills Bledsoe and cheer against him. But real quick, Elijah, before you jump in, I guess you got rid of the single head, you know, the monster that the single headed, but now you almost have like this little two headed younger brother type guys that are going to be just nipping at your heels. And I guess that's what kind of, you know, long story going back to it. How long is that window, though, with if these teams are – now, obviously the Jets could take a step back after next year depending if, you know, Rodgers goes and they don't get a replacement. But,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's right now, but do you think it could be looming with their improvements in the and age and movement on this team?
Yeah, I mean, again, the last 2-3 years, it's been Buffalo's division, and they've won it pretty easily. Miami, the last 2 years, has kind of come on in that regards. But truthfully, I think the Jets are the one team that, as someone who follows the Bills, that's the team that scares me the most right now, especially if Rodgers comes back healthy. They've kind of leaned into this veteran, Tyron Smith, Mike Williams. They've filled a lot of holes. They got an excellent defense that I think can really get pressure after a quarterback. So the Jets is the one team that's going to, I think, give Buffalo fits. I'm going to just go out there and say that I think the Dolphins, they don't necessarily scare me. I feel like they're paper champions. They're off-season champions. They usually come on very strong in the beginning and then tail off at the end. So the one team that at least I'm looking at is the Jets, with the way that their defense is structured and this kind of veteran offense they've put together.
Elijah,
I was just gonna make a comment about how, like, if I was a Bills fan, I was just waiting for this to happen to the Patriots, because obviously you're a Bills fan and you pay attention to all the bad drafts they have, and you're probably just sitting in the background, like, just waiting, like, yeah, it's not going to last forever because their first round picks, like, don't even make the team. So, or, like, their first round picks don't do anything. So I don't know. I just, if I was a Bills fan, I'd be like, I would be actually kind of like just watching from afar and seeing all the bad drafts that the Patriots have had and just been like, yeah, it's coming to an end. So that's all I was really gonna say.
Oh, I love it. It's true though, man, because like everybody had to suffer through that. That's a football fan had to, oh, we're going to get New England again. Like, I'll say this, and I'm not trying to get off topic with it, but like, we saw a little bit of the same dominancy in the last little bit of the NBA with Golden State, but like,
mm-hmm.
at least Steph Curry's fun. Like, Tom Brady just, he just ick to me. I just don't want to watch it. At least I enjoy watching the Warriors when they are shooting all the night.
The thing that kind of sucks for the Bills is that we went through 20 plus years with Brady and the Patriots dominance, and we weren't very good to begin with during that time, so it wasn't like we were missing out on much. But now we're legitimate Super Bowl champions, and now we're going up against the Kansas City Chiefs, who are by and far like that next dynasty. And it's just like you lose, you go through one dynasty to walk right into another.
Yeah. It kind of is one of those, like, you know, you kind of just keep getting to the wrong place. And I do got to say, for the record, I still have in my closet a Willis McGahee jersey. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Do you have a Travis Henry jersey?
I don't. The McGahee was the one when they had those like blue that would go over the sleeves and then the back, and then it was white on the bottom, and they had like a little bit of red.
Oh yeah, those were outrageous.
Yeah, I remember those.
Hell yeah.
Was that from when they had the socks? The weird socks with like the weird little like.
Yeah, they were like the AFL, the Arena League football jerseys. That was that jersey.
Yeah, those were interesting. I actually they were hideous, but I kind of had a soft spot for them. I thought they were hideous, but they were kind of cool.
Oh, I love it. I gotta ask you too. You know, real quick. This, you know, front office, I think Sean McDermott, man, has got a really good shot to get these guys there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of how I want to word, like, obviously, you know, he kind of came in with this whole coaching friend, like a lot of the coordinator era, you could say. How long of a leash does he have? I guess it's kind of the last thing I wanted to ask you, trying to make it easier than where I'm going.
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think that there was a lot of concern middle of last season after losing to the Denver Broncos on Monday Night Football, and it was kind of a last-ditch effort to fire Ken Dorsey, and it's like, okay, it's now on you at this point, and I think that there's a lot of concern around Bills Mafia in terms of, are we wasting Josh Allen's best years? This is obviously one of the best quarterbacks we've had since Jim Kelly in the 90s, and we can't get to the Super Bowl. I think that I still think he's a very good head coach. I think he can certainly win a Super Bowl. I don't really have any concerns with that. In terms of how long his leash is, it feels very much like Terry Pegula, the owner, views Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott as a package deal. So if they're going to get rid of Sean McDermott, I think they would also have to get rid of Brandon Bean. So I think he has a little cover in that regards. They just signed, I want to say maybe it was last year or the year before that, a five-year extension that gets them through 2027.
Okay.
I think it's going to it's really going to come down to an eye test. I come back to like Andy Reid with the Eagles. At some point, you have to just make a switch because it's falling on deaf ears. You're not showing any improvement. You're very good, but not great. And we're kind of getting into that territory where I think at this point, he's one of the longest tenured coaches in the NFL. He's been there 7 years. So they may just make a switch because it's like, hey, we don't think you're a bad coach, but this just isn't working. We need to go another direction. So depending on how this season plays out, I think it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, he was in that, you know, that group I always look at with all those, you know, the McVays and everybody who all kind of came in that spot. And it's like, at some point, this conglomerate of these guys are going to, I feel like either going to start moving to new teams or moving on or, you know, just, you know, vice versa. And it's just something that I wasn't thinking about. And, you know, once again, when you mentioned that ceiling, it opened a whole different door of questions that I wasn't even thinking about. So I actually appreciate you did that. That way we can get some more of that Bills content in there. Cause we got a lot of people clamoring for Bills. We got next week will be, you know, obviously the draft. So one of the more requested teams to get on here as we wrap up our coverage. So we're glad that we were able to have you come on here with us tonight. Real quick, I gotta ask you one last thing here. Next Wednesday, if you are around the same time, we're going to be doing a live on-air mock draft. We do every single year. We bring back all of our guests and let the live draft on air for their team. So if you're around, we can touch base later. We'd love to have you come back and draft for the Bills at 28.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Yeah.
So we'll reach out to you on that. And, you know, once again, Brandon, just plug everything one more time for everybody so they can, you know, if they didn't hear at the start when they came in, they can get your info now on hearing everything and reading everything.
Yeah, so I'm on BuffaloLowdown.com, and you can also find me on Twitter at Brandon Gross.
Heck yeah, we'll have links out too. We'll attach you on when the on-demand comes out. So if any of your people want to hear your stuff, we'll have that right in there for you, man. I greatly appreciate you coming on, and we'll be in touch here in the next few days about next week.
Awesome. You guys have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Thank
Thanks,
you, Brandon. We appreciate you.
Yep.
Rocking and rolling here. First guest of the evening coming in here. I'm excited, man. I'm excited. It's traffic.
Yeah.
No, you good. You guys both came back at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me talk to you.
Like stream deck doesn't work.
Night.
L.A. Job. That's his job last night.
L.A. Demptress.
Jobbing to AJ Styles and then, what, AJ retires? Am I gonna get this one right?
No.
No? No AJ retiring after Backlash?
No, AJ's going to beat Cody, and Cody's reign's over.
Cody's here to save us.
That's how...
Cody Raheem Rhodes.
That's how our boy Triple H did Cody Rhodes.
You know, we got a little bit of time here before our next guest brings their way through. Did either of you two have a chance to check out that link I sent you guys about 6:30?
Yeah, I did, baby.
I don't know if Elijah, what about you? Maybe he isn't. He said he was back, but I don't know if he's in.
Okay. I thought I was unmuted. My bad.
Oh, no,
but
golden.
I didn't have a chance to check out the link because I was out to dinner with Alicia.
Okay.
So
what'd you have for dinner?
I had a burger from this place called Joe's in Faribault.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was good. It was my first time eating there. Yeah.
We're going to eat like kings at Guys Weekend, bro, all right?
Tight.
Yay! That's one of the most painful... I just read the thing the group chat about Justin Jefferson. That's one of the most painful sounding things I've ever heard in my entire life.
Man,
I would rather be sodomized with a rusty razor blade than see Justin Jefferson play for another team.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far. But I would hate it.
Yeah.
And I would like
I'm like, look, I'm not pleased, but you can keep the razor blades.
Oh, you can keep the razor blades away from my.
I'll get over it at some point. Okay, so I feel like we should have a little prep before we do that. So maybe that's what we could do next week when we come on Wednesday to do the live draft show. We could do that as our draft, maybe.
Okay.
I like
that.
So
that way Elijah can check it out. Gives you more time, too. I did want to go over a couple. I need to find it. It was on USA Today, I think it was. And here we go. Okay, so as we mentioned, Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia are going to be going ring walk about 10 o'clock tonight, about an hour and a half.
Jesus, Lord, but, why so late?
Because it starts, well, the first fight started at 7, there's four of them. And this fight's going to go the distance, I think. Although that Jimenez dude was beating on Ramirez for a minute, like the second or third.
Yeah, the Jose Ramirez I was thinking of, he actually is pretty good. His only loss in his career is to Josh Taylor.
Josh Taylor fights. Have you seen every Saturday coming up is a good fight? Like the whole month of May?
Unfortunately, I haven't paid attention as much attention as I used to.
No,
so,
I
fill me in, brother.
I don't either. But just listen to this rag of riches we get. Next weekend is that Jose Ramirez you're talking about against Rancis Barthelemy.
That'll be a good fight.
Same show is going to have Virgil Ortiz Jr. and Thomas Delorme.
Ugh. Virgil Ortiz Jr.
Okay,
sorry.
Is the Canelo Munguia. But it's going to have Brandon Fedora. That's going to be, I don't think that's anything special. But Brandon Figueroa. Jesse Magdaleno.
That'll
Mario Berrios and Fabian Andres Maidana. And then Gabriel Maestre against Imantas Stanionis.
Oh, Stanionis is back.
Yeah, baby. It's for his
Virgil
title.
Did you know Virgil Ortiz and Stanionis were supposed to fight like 3 or 4 times?
I'm guessing Ortiz didn't want none.
Well, stuff just kept happening. Like, Virgil Ortiz was having health issues, and I don't know if Stanionis had to like back out of one of the fights, but like.
So then,
yeah.
2 days later, that Monday, we get. Unification, Naoya Inoue and Luis Neri.
Oh, God. That's going to be destruction.
Yeah, we get to watch the monster again. Then you go the next
the
weekend.
The monster.
Luis Neri's a good fighter, too. I think Neri might be the best guy Inoue's faced. I don't know if it's going to matter, but.
Luis Neri is good, but. Mm-hmm. He plays into Inoue's like style. Like Neri's so aggressive, he's gonna get caught and like just crushed. Like
so, then we get the next weekend is Lomachenko Cambosos, which also has Andrew Maloney and Carlos Quadras on the undercard, which should be fun.
Carlos Quadras.
Also, randomly, on Peacock, with nothing else announced but one fight, Jessica McCaskill and Lauren Price, just on
nice.
Peacock for some reason. No idea. I didn't know Peacock even showed boxing. But and yet, then the following week, Saudi Arabia, Usyk and Fury.
Nice.
And that's got a pretty good undercard. ESPN doesn't have it listed, but I've seen it. And then the following week after that, gentlemen, you mentioned Josh Taylor taking on Jack Catterall.
Ooh, that'll be a good one. It's about time that they had their rematch.
And then June 1st, the following Saturday, once again, the rich just keep getting richer. We get Bavol Beterbiev with Dubois Hrgovic and Wilder Zhang on the undercard. Hell of a triple header, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's a pretty elite triple header.
And fighting the same night in Inglewood, California, on Diaz and Jorge Masvidal.
Who?
Yeah. Nate Diaz and Jorge Masvidal.
In a boxing match?
Yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Wow,
Luke, did
I didn't
you know
that that was happening.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Did you? Who's do you know who's like promoting this or anything?
Jorge
Masvidal has his own like boxing, like MMA promotion, I believe. I think it's like going to be promoted by Jorge Masvidal's company.
UFC was putting it on.
The UFC was putting on a boxing match?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I thought it was under his. Or I figured it would be under his because.
That's interesting. Diaz Masvidal is going to be on the same night as UFC 302. So he's going against the pay-per-view. He's going against, that's Connor and Chandler, isn't it? Or is that 303?
Yeah, that's 303. That's Dustin versus Islam and then Sean Strickland versus Costa.
Oh, shit. Well, I'm not going to watch Masvidal Diaz then. Sorry about that. I'm not going to spend $80 either for that. Currently, right now, Devin Haney, a minus 800. Ryan Garcia, plus 550.
Did you guys see what Scheffner reported about Jaden Daniels in Washington?
No.
Yeah, like Jaden Daniels kind of annoyed with Washington right now.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels and his agent are not pleased with the process of the visit that Washington put on. They were under the impression it would just be Daniels at the visit, but instead they invited every other QB prospect to visit at the exact same time.
Bring Daniels to Minnesota, baby.
That's why I was saying today, like I read that, and that's why I was saying today, man, I think the Vikings could be in play to trade up for Daniels.
Oh. Let's make it happen. Real quick, I'll wrap this up here. The 15th, Gervonta Davis, Frank Martin, and on the same card, we get David Benavidez, Alexander Gvozdyk.
Nice. And that's then, that's a good couple of fights.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Gvozdyk again. At least Benavidez is going to get a guy who's going to bang with him.
Yeah.
And if he beats him, that's a quality win. I think that's a win for both guys. I think Gvozdyk coming in, because he hasn't fought in a couple of years, I think.
He hasn't fought against Benavidez. Didn't he lose against, was it Beterbiev? That, like, he lost, or someone, like, some, it was either, like, maybe it's Beterbiev or someone, like, brutally, like beat the piss, like, beat him up pretty bad.
Beterbiev. Back in 2019, he did it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that Gvozdyk took some time off after that fight.
Okay, so he had three short, like, he had a six-round fight and an eight-rounder. This last year, or in 2023. So he had some really, really small tune-up fights. But, man, that's a big fight stepping up for him, and I think Benavidez will get credit for the win. That's a win for both those guys. I like that.
Yeah, for sure.
And then finally, the 29th is Teofimo Lopez, Steve Claggett. But we also get Juan Francisco Estrada and Bam Rodriguez.
Bro, you haven't even announced the best boxing match we're getting, bro.
What's that?
Oh,
are you
God.
Talking about the one in July?
Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul, brother.
Mike, what if Mike Tyson, if he hits him with one of those shots, bro?
I'm secretly hoping that he just hits him with a liver shot and he just drops to the ground. Falls down.
Could you imagine if Tyson hit him with a liver shot and then, like, talked? He's like, he's funny. Look at him. He's on the ground.
Yeah, and then Logan Paul tries to bum rush the ring, and then he gets knocked out.
Then Triple H comes in the ring.
God. I mean, that would be nice, but I think Jake Paul took this fight because he knows that there's no chance Mike wins.
Is all he needs to do is make it past the first half of the first round, and Tyson's going to be blown up.
Did you see that video of Mike Tyson running?
Yeah, he's. He scares me half to death if I was in the ring with that guy. The sounds when he's put some of those clips where he's like doing just going back and forth side to side and throwing those like body hooks. I'm like, that dude's got to be feeling this through that pad. Like, there's no way he's not.
Yeah.
God. And then finally, the last thing on the calendar, Israel Madrimov defends his WBA junior middleweight title against the moving up Terrence Crawford.
It'll be a good test for Crawford.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him trying something different. You know, it's just at the end of the day, it just keeps helping him, keeps helping his cause for what he's doing. You know,
no one seems to really want to fight him. So,
and that's the best thing to do. What are they? At the end of the day, when you try to decipher, or not, I shouldn't say you, because you look at a broader spectrum too, but at the end of the day, when people really start trying to decide who's who and the top and where you're ranking people, it's all about championships. And that's one thing he's doing, is he's doing the Pacquiao route where he's just collecting classes.
Yeah.
And he's unifying the bitches too, which nobody does. I mean, we've had eight and ever, and he's done it twice or three times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's out there making moves and he's doing it now where it's, you know, you don't always see it, albeit we have seen it in the last couple of years, but like he was the guy who was really getting that going. So I'm probably getting a better shot, but I did see this earlier today and I wanted to read this and I thought you guys might get some humor out of this, but USA Today, had some basically their thoughts of they asked different fighters who they thought was going to win and they got predictions and things like that, and I was surprised to see Adrian Bronner was one of the guys who said he thinks Ryan Garcia is going to win via knockout.
Well, I mean, he has, like, Garcia has power, but, I mean, that's just Adrian Broner. He, like, says stupid stuff like that.
He said, my brother is betting $1 million on Devin Haney, and unfortunately, I don't have the money to do that anymore. I have $13, and I'm going to put it on Ryan Garcia to win so I can triple my money. All right, cool.
At least you don't hear much about him anymore.
Yeah, I should talk the guy, but you know, I don't want anything bad to ever happen to people like Stevenson.
Yeah.
Like I kind of sucks what happened to him, but some of these are really fun. So Robert Siegel, Boxing News 24, said even if Haney is planning to fight in a toe-to-toe fight, once he tastes Ryan's power, he'll change his mind about that and revert to the safety-first style we've seen him use in his last four fights. I predict Haney to win a one-sided decision or a late knockout. I kind of think that could be a thing.
Last four fights? I didn't see Haney really use a safety-first style against Prograis. He, like, beat the shit out of Prograis. And Prograis was, like, besides, like, Ryan Garcia, probably the most, like, dangerous guy that he's fought at wise as, like, punching power and kind of roughing you up and being, like, a strong, like, guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. He didn't seem to be too safety first against Lomachenko. Like, they both are kind of standing right in front of each other, banging, and, like, Haney was going after Lomachenko and going to his body for, like, like the first like seven rounds of that fight. So I guess like I don't know if I could say that Haney was totally doing his like safety first style like his last four fights. He's kind of, I feel like, starting to get out of that a little bit, but what do I know?
Lucky Namwa Jasat from Bleacher Report said one punch can turn any fight, and King Rai definitely has the arsenal to catch Haney if he isn't careful. However, the smart money here says Haney keeps Garcia at arm's length and cruises to a victory. Haney by unanimous decision. This one's made me laugh. Josh Peter, USA Today, said, with Garcia's erratic behavior, I'm hoping for the best but expecting the worst. My prediction is Haney wins after Garcia is disqualified in the eighth round.
Oh, Lord.
Clarissa Shields said it'll be entertaining. You'll see Ryan go out there and be flashing, throw his combinations and be sharp and long and stuff. But I think that Devin is just a better boxer and he'll be able to make Ryan run into some things. And I think it'll be a unanimous decision for Devin. Canelo said, if Garcia is 100%, he could win the fight, but the people around him need to help him. So I feel a little sad for him because he needs to have a good person or good people around him and he doesn't. The last ones were Shane Mosley said, I would say Devin has the bigger advantage, meaning he'll be able to outbox, move around and understand Ryan. But at the same time, Ryan does have a big left hook and a big punch. So Mosley then took the chicken way out and didn't give an answer. Sean Porter said, yeah, I think he's going to come to the ring comfortable against Devin, confident against Devin. You got Derek James in the corner now. So they're working on the fundamentals and the basics, to which then led to the Adrian Bronner. But taking that, I only got $13. I like Ryan for the knockout. I like my odds. I got to triple this fucker up. So I kind of think that's my consensus. I think you'd be dumb if you don't think Garcia has a one-punch chance to do something.
Oh, he definitely does.
But I don't think he's got the skill to go 12 with Devin Haney.
No. And people are discounting Devin Haney's like power, like his first fight at 140, he knocked Pearl Gray down and like had him hurt a couple times, and Pearl Gray is a pretty durable guy. So yeah, take into account that Haney probably has more punching power now than he did at the lower weights. So
I don't think people take into consideration too that I don't think Haney has had to use power. I think he's a very skilled fighter who knows he can take his time and just beat you to death. You know, he can get through 12 rounds and he's going to have the same amount of wind that he had going into the third round. And he knows you're not going to have that cardio to do it. I think that's what makes Devin Haney so dangerous is he can go in there and just pick you off and make you frustrated, and there's nothing he can do about it.
No, and I agree with that. But if you look at how he looked at like weigh-ins and stuff at his fights at the lower weights, the dude like looked like Michael Jackson zombie all the time, like something
yeah,
in like eye sockets.
Yeah,
and I mean
he
to
did
me,
get
he even,
trained, didn't he?
Yeah, and I mean even like to me like. Against Pearl Gray, he just looked like faster and sharper. Like it just looked, he just looked a little different at the higher weight, like just a little better. So I think people are kind of sleeping on him a little bit just because he was like killing himself to make that weight. And that probably wasn't the best version of him.
Mm-hmm.
So but I do think Garcia does have a puncher's chance. I mean, he's fast and he's got a great like hook.
Well,
but
the problem with Garcia now too is he's become such a goofball that people don't want to give him any props anymore. Like before he got goofy, man, everyone's like, this guy's gonna be the next deal. I mean, like you remember me and Jordan, we saw his second ever pro fight, hung out with his family. Thought, man, the first thing I think we said to you was, bro, you should see this guy we saw. It was his second fight. You know, people wanted to like him, but I don't know, man. He just, the fame got to him weird.
Yeah. I mean, he did take a break from boxing because he has mental health issues. So I mean, maybe those are cropping up again and they're like just worse than they were before. But yeah, I don't know what happened to him. He kind of just went off the deep end, and he is 3 pounds overweight.
Yeah, I'll give you $500,000 for every pound I'm overweight, because that's not going to happen. All right, I cut him a check for $1.5 million. You happy? No, I'm not happy. Don't say that shit. Then you get your leather jacket. You think you're all tight from De La Hoya, which I will say was entertaining watching that weigh-in when they're all yelling at each other. Then De La Hoya gives them both those jackets. And they both kind of like, oh. And everyone just kind of stopped, and they're like, we got these tight-ass jackets now.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, dang, those actually are pretty tight jackets. And then Dale Hoy is almost like, he's like going to have a heart attack trying to keep these guys apart. And he was in no shape to be the guy, the middleman there. At least like in the UFC, Dana White still looks like he's got some arms. De La Hoya was like, please stop. No, please. He's like, we need help up here. Oh, God, can you get somebody else over? But, you know, Luke, I know you don't watch as much of the boxing, obviously. That's fine. But is there anybody with what you kind of know now and what videos you've seen and what we've talked about, is there anyone you can kind of think of like that, like Ryan Garcia, who was such a prospect but just was so in his own head it just completely, like, faltered that?
Johnny Manziel.
No, I said in the UFC. But Johnny Manziel's a great one.
UFC.
Fuck that guy, too. That might actually be a better answer than what I gave. I might actually just... You got...
There's got to be someone in the UFC.
Yeah,
there's got to be many of them.
Yeah, you know, because it's... I'm just trying to think over the last years if there's anybody, like, that was that same kind of scenario that he's kind of been. You know,
I can't think of. I can think of a lot of people that, like, had all the gifts. They could just never beat that one guy, but that's not really, like.
Like, I was going to say
one person. Mm-hmm. Not on the level of, like, Ryan Garcia because he accomplished more, but he has, like, got way into his head and, like, had a huge fall off, Conor McGregor.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
he obviously
accomplished more.
Champion, yeah.
No, I'm saying he accomplished more, but his fall off was
his,
like,
drop was drastic.
Yeah, pretty tremendous. Like, in some of the shit he did, like,
that's true. The whole throwing
his fall,
the guardrail,
his fall from great, punching that old dude.
Yeah,
he didn't want to drink his whiskey.
Yeah, that's
fuck
a good
that old guy.
That's kind of a good comparison. Yeah, I agree. He definitely has done a lot more, and to be fair, he's had a much longer career than Garcia's had. But yeah, like that's kind of the where I'm going with it. Was somebody who just, you know, something happened and then everything just changed. And
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what happens with. So that's in July then, him and Chandler, Luke?
I want to say it's June.
So they're doing two in June, okay.
Yeah, it's like June 29th.
Oh, okay, so they're just doing it there. That makes sense. They can get it done before the 4th of July, okay. Yeah, that's a pretty good career. But ultimately, I think you got me with the Johnny Manziel one. That was a great one. That guy.
Johnny Manziel.
I'm not going to lie. At the draft, I was kind of like, he could be kind of fun if we had him, man. He'd run around a little bit and stuff, and then, like, and I was like, wait, no, we don't want this. And then we didn't get him, and I was like, all right.
I was like, man, we don't want this guy.
You know what I think it was?
His play just didn't translate to the NFL to me. Like, I'm like,
yeah.
He drops back and scrambles around and, like, throws up a lollipop to Mike Evans. Or he just runs, like, and he was such you could just tell that the guy didn't, like, study, like, do any work, like, off the field. He was, like, just kind of, I'm so good, I don't have to, like, I don't have to be a professional. I can just go out there and play backyard football. And I got that vibe from him. That's why I'm like, please don't draft him. Please don't draft him.
I think my appeal was I just wanted the star. You know, obviously nobody knew if he was going to be good or bad, but it was like, you know, why don't we ever get that guy? You know, it's, and I'm glad we didn't get that guy, to be frankly honest with you. Got about 10 minutes here until we jump into Baltimore talk. Where's your guys' heads now? We're 5 days away.
I'm just prepared. I'm prepared to be disappointed.
You, Luke, you think it's disappointment too, or no?
No. I'm ready for Drake May to come to the Minnesota Vikings.
Ick. Ick.
Jose Ramirez defeated.
Like, I wouldn't hate Drake May or J.J. McCarthy if we weren't giving up a buttload to get those two guys. I just don't think it's worth – I don't think they're worth the three first-round picks or more that you might have to give up to get them. Like, it's just
– I agree. I almost wouldn't hate anybody any of the QBs we could take as long as we didn't trade for them.
Yeah.
If you want to take a risk on somebody, you guys are the pros. You guys are they're the ones getting paid the money to do it. We're the guys that are here to talk about it once a week. You know, so sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong. That's fine. But if your assessment says with this organization, this team, this coaching staff, and these players, this is going to be the best fit for us and we don't have to trade up to get him and he will make us a winning franchise, then I will take your word for it and I'll shut my mouth. And I'll eat my crow if I'm wrong. But if and when I'm right, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear about it. Every single person is going to hear about it because you know I'm not going to shut up about it.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many holes on this team. And you trade away two first-round picks in a draft that's as deep as this draft to get one guy. And then you possibly trade – your first next year, and then you might have to give up. Like, I don't know if this is true or not, but I've seen reports saying that New England would want either Justin Jefferson or Darisaw in the package with our three first-round picks as well. One of those two and the three first-round picks. So you trade your first-round pick away in the next year. I don't think they have a pick till like the third or fourth round next year if they get rid of their – like. And how are you going to get all that capital back?
Yeah. And that's the one thing that we had talked about earlier was we don't want to lose Justin Jefferson no matter what. That's a do not do any of that. But if there's any indication that he's thinking about testing free agency, see if you could get it for him then. Because I don't want to be Artie Moreno and the Los Angeles Angels, who arguably could lose one of the greatest players to ever play the game for absolutely nothing, and he wonders why his team doesn't win ever.
Yeah.
You can't – like, I know the fan base is going to be mad, and you know we have some really – overreacting, uneducated Vikings fans here. Like, you listen to the local radio more than I do, and you hate it, Elijah.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like they're going to freak out and be mad, but if you can't keep him, you can't just hope and pray that it's going to be different, you know, when you come back in a year and go, have you changed your mind? And he goes, no, I really haven't. Ah, shucks. Well, thanks for everything you did.
Yeah, I think the national media is blowing this shit out of proportion.
And I do, like, too. I think a lot of conversations if he was leaving.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to – I think a lot of his not signing has to do with CeeDee Lamb not signing a contract yet. And CeeDee Lamb is supposed to get, like, a deal. And, like, if he wants to be the highest paid wide receiver – why would he sign his deal before CD Lamb does? And
especially with not having someone getting him the ball potentially.
Yeah. And also too, like, I don't think
yeah, he him and Kirk Cousins are boys, but to him, I don't think it matters who's playing quarterback to him. He's still going to get his, like he's still going to get targets and he's still going to be productive. Like, I feel like if he was mad about who's playing quarterback here, he probably would have already been like, I want out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that's trying to get ironed out that people don't really think about or know about, and they're just assuming stuff because they want to make a big story out of it. So that's just my opinion.
That's fair. We got Bektimir Malekuziev and Peter Dabombe next. Baboza McComb, and then the main event coming on here.
Baboza McComb. Whoa, 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 whoa. Who?
Barboza versus McComb. Shut your ass up. Grab this call here. Mike, you with us, sir?
Mike, you with us? Are you guys asking me?
Yeah.
No,
sorry.
My name is... Yeah, I was waiting for you guys to talk about the Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia fight. I wanted to get you.
Yeah. No, you know what?
Yeah.
Let me start over. I thought you were our next guest, so I apologize. That's why I jumped in that way. Let's do this the proper way. Go ahead. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And give us your take on the fight here while we're into it. Just go ahead. The floor is yours, man.
My name is John. I'm from Florida. I actually don't know. I wanted to bet on this fight. I mean, I want to say Ryan would win, but the way he's been acting the past few days, maybe the past whole month, I don't know, man. I think there's something wrong with this guy. But it could be like, you know, he could be acting that way for a specific reason. Devin Haney seems like he's zeroed in, like he's on point. He's dedicated. It seems that way, but I don't know. It seems like Ryan Garcia, I think Mayweather even said Ryan Garcia is going to win this fight. But the way his antics has been acting is really suspicious. You know what I mean? Why is he acting so weird? So I wanted to get your guys' take, on this whole thing.
Yeah.
If it's
Elijah,
all right.
why don't you jump in here? Because you had some good takes earlier, Elijah.
I just think it's he's admitted himself that he's had mental health problems in the past and he took some time off from boxing because of it. And I think that maybe he didn't get all this stuff squared away or they're popping up again. And this is like a high stress time for him. And he's probably acting out because he's having mental health issues again. Like I can't really say obviously because I'm not him, but he's acting weird and very like volatile and just almost like he's crazy, like just unhinged. Just, I don't know, man, but yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with maybe his old mental health issues popping up again, or maybe he's going in overdrive to try and sell the fight. And he's just kind of doing it in a weird way. I don't know. Like, he does seem off, though.
That's true. I mean, maybe that is the case. You know, sometimes when these guys sell fights and they're not used to, you know, trying to sell a fight, they don't necessarily do it in the best way possible. That makes sense.
Yeah, before you... Oh, sorry. I had to burp.
No, go ahead.
Before you grab... Sorry, Mike.
Appreciate the call. Appreciate the call. Thanks for calling it. I'll put you back on mute here.
Tight. I just read a thing that says there are many rumors going around the league that the Minnesota Vikings already have a trade in place with a team in the top five. It has just not been announced because they do not want to know what they paid, so people jump them.
Interesting. I guess we'll see what it is.
Yeah.
Where'd you hear that from?
It's on, what is this? NFLTR from Jason. Hold on a second. Jesus Christ. Of course, I pressed a button and then it went away.
Hey, appreciate the call, John. Thanks for calling in.
Who's John?
That was the gentleman who just called and asked us a question, you idiot.
Oh, thanks, John. What up, baby? John, where is it? John Lockenfora. Do you know who that is, Ryan?
Jason Lockenfora?
There you go, Jason. Yeah,
he's pretty. He's a pretty dialed in name. Like,
yeah.
There definitely could be something there.
It says right here, according to Jason Lockenfora, rumblings going around the league that the Vikings have a deal already in place to move up in the draft into the top five. It is rumored that it has not been announced, though, so that way the Giants will not know the price so they do not jump in front of them.
Hey, Elijah, what do you think of Sean Porter's get-up?
I'm not watching the Discord right now.
Oh, he looks like a leprechaun.
Whoa.
He's got a white and green vest with some, like checkered plaid green and white pants and a gold tie. And he's standing next to a woman. I'm not sure who she is. I feel like I should know who she is, but she's like much taller than him too. It doesn't help him.
Wow.
But he looks tight as hell. Let me tell you that. He's got a sick ass watch on too. Showtime Sean Porter. Man, I like Sean Porter, man. That's another guy who never, like, I don't think he
gets
ever
the credit,
got his,
gets the credit he deserves.
He was in a he had the same problem, Luke. We've talked about this that Uriah Faber had, where he's so good, but he could never beat Dominick Cruz. Like he could never,
yeah,
you know, because was it Thurman was his kind of his kryptonite? Didn't he fight him twice?
Well, no, Sean Porter like. Probably has one of the best, like, boxing resumes out there you'll ever see, which is who he's fought. And he never won the, like, huge fight. Like, he lost a close fight to Keith Thurman. He lost a close fight to Errol Spence. He lost to Terrence Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see here. Kell Brook beat him. Another guy, like, I mean, like, you go over this guy's, and they're all, like, close fights. Like, the Kell Brook fight was another fight where it could have went either way. But you go over his fights, and Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence, he did have a win against Ugas, but some people thought that Ugas won that fight. So he fought Ugas. He fought Danny Garcia. He fought Andre Berto.
Really like him too, because he beat bitch ass.
He fought Andre Berto. He fought Keith Thurman. He fought Adrian Broner, Kell Brook, Pauly Malignaggi, Devin Alexander.
Yeah, I pulled
like,
up in case he needed it. Phil LaGreco,
dude,
baby.
Phil LaGreco.
Good old Orion
Faber. He fought so many guys. I swear, like I said, his resume has got to be one of the best resumes out there.
Elijah, you should turn this fight on real quick. Not to cut you off. Who is this?
Is she a baddie?
I thought it was Clarissa Shields, but I'm like, that's not Clarissa Shields.
I think it is.
Well, she could get damn.
It is her because you can see her quote chain.
Yeah, that's why I was like, hey, she could get cleaned up when she needs to. Look how small Porter looks. Doesn't he look like a little leprechaun just standing there? But he had this sick ass Rolex on though.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, Clarissa Shields is officially a baddie. Oh, <Anna. laughs> Damn, I thought it was Jade Cargill at first. Dude, this guy's hair on the left, he looks like he's wearing Nikolai Volkov's helmet. Remember that black fuzzy hat Nikolai Volkov wore with the Iron Sheik?
Yeah.
That's what his hair looks like. Man. Well,
that's like a perfect box cut. a perfect high top box.
That dude spells the word disciplined, or he's gonna get beat if he's not. This fight might be tight too. Let's go. Well, I don't know where Mike Luciano is.
Mike Lucky Luciano.
Maybe
that guy's like, I'm not Mike. I was like, oh shit, my man.
Maybe
I put down more hits than Lucky Luciano.
Maybe he
kayfabed
us, bro.
Did he?
Kayfabed us.
Oh fuck, Aaron.
Oh man.
He ghosted us.
Beholder.
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 Take your own advice, Canelo.
Actually, yeah. You know who's a good answer to your UFC question about, like, someone who had all, like, the talent in the world and just something happened? Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Remember? He was the next thing.
But he didn't go as cringe as, like, Ryan Garcia and,
no,
like,
but...
And he didn't have, like...
Neck tattoos pretty cringe, though.
No,
I shouldn't say cringe, but he didn't have like the goof, like the weirdness and the problems.
No,
but
I get it. He's saying with the potential that was there.
No,
yeah.
I get it.
Never, yeah.
Well, he was the one that finally beat Dominic Cruz. He was the one that finally ended Dominic Cruz's reign and was champion, and then lost, and then like went on like an 8-year losing streak or some shit.
He never got over He fell in love with throwing his hook, and that's like all he would do. And he started getting caught and not catching people.
This dude's tight as hell. Look at the sombrero that dude's got on. That Bexabu dude.
I thought Cody Garbrandt was gonna be a banger, man. Like, but
what about Tony Ferguson?
Oh, he kind of went off the weird
yeah,
event too.
Yeah, he got a little wild.
But he shouldn't even be fighting anymore. Has he officially retired?
He wants to fight one more time. He said.
He needs to hang him up.
Watch him fight.
I don't know, but Justin Gaethje gave him CTE in one fight.
Paddy Pimblett just beat the crap out of Ferguson.
That was the fight I was talking about. That's the one that just happened.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, like you, like Paddy Pimblett is kicking your ass. Like
Paddy Pimblett's tight, brother. What are you talking about?
Tony Ferguson.
Paddy Pimblett, he was kicking his ass like standing up. Paddy Pimblett can't strike, and Tony Ferguson was like one of the best strikers, like. Around back when he was like in his prime.
Well, I guess he's not good no more.
He's
That's what I'm saying. He should hang him up, fool.
Yeah, he's. Well, Justin Gaethje almost murdered him in one fight.
Yeah, that didn't. That was a TKO. Then he lost to Oliveira. Then he lost to Dariush. Then he lost to Chandler. Then Diaz. Then he got choked out by Bobby Green, and then he got his ass beat by Paddy the Batty.
Yeah, but that Justin
Gaethje. All I'm saying is Paddy Pimblett. If Paddy Pimblett, however you pronounce his fucking name, if Paddy is outstriking you and you're known to be a striker, you're done for because Paddy Pimblett, he sucks. He's not a good striker.
No, he's only
That's
had
all
six knockouts.
That's all I was saying, Luke. I wasn't saying that he wasn't any good.
Oh, he's not good. He's going to lose to someone.
Yeah, he only has six knockouts.
I just like when he comes out and everyone yells, Paddy the Batty. That shit gets me hyped.
He's kind of funny.
He is funny.
That Ferguson fight against Gaethje, though, was a TKO, but it didn't end until the fifth round, and I'm pretty sure, like, Gaethje just demoralized him every round.
Yeah.
The one thing I did enjoy was, you know, Tony Ferguson, who loves the shit talk. Pimblett didn't give a damn what he had to say. No. And Ferguson just getting irritated.
Yeah. Yep.
Because that was on that. That was the Edwards Covington and the Pantoja Roval fight card.
Yeah.
That was a good ass card. Damn, yeah, that gate did $9.3 million.
Wow.
Yeah, this was Leon Edwards, Colby Covington, Alexander Pantoja, Brandon Royval, Shavkat Rachmanov, Stephen Thompson. That was a great fight. Then the Paddy Pimblett, Tony Ferguson. There's a lot of really good fights on that show. Cody Garbrandt with a one punch knockout a minute or 3 minutes into the fight won his fight. He was on the
first one in like 8 years.
He beat Brian Kelleher.
Yeah, whoever that is.
Yeah, Cody Garbrandt. Yeah, after he beat Cruz, he lost twice to Dillashaw, lost to Pedro Munoz, beat Asunyao, then lost to Rob Font and Kai Car France, beat Trevin Jones, beat that Brian Kelleher guy, and then at UFC 300, he fought Figueiredo and got choked.
Devison!
Fucking
Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah, that's a good one. That was a good hit. That was a good hit.
I feel bad for Uriah Faber. He's got that. He just can never beat the main guy.
And I think the thing that sucks too is like he wasn't an asshole or anything. Like he was a great coach on The Ultimate Fighter. Like,
yeah, he was awesome.
And he just could not beat him.
There's fighters like that though that like can beat everyone except the champion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, and it's sometimes there's just those guys that get stuck in that and they can't get past it. And then it haunts them. You know what I mean? Like they can never get out of their head about that fight. I'm trying
rough
to
life to
here.
Live.
You're trying to
what? Lost the cruise. Yeah, it's just and didn't he lose the cruise in like two different companies too, which makes it even worse.
Yeah, and like UFC and then in WEC.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't he lose to Mike Brown too in both?
Yeah.
In UFC
and
the issue was that he beat Mike Brown though.
Backwards. He lost twice to Mike Brown and he beat Cruz in the WEC.
That's what it was, yeah. There we go.
And then the rematch, and then he got beat. He got beat twice by Mike Brown, lost to Aldo, and then he got the big win. He got that big Eddie Wineland win, and then he got that rematch, and then Cruz beat him and could never get past it. And he couldn't beat Brandon Moreno too. That was another guy he lost twice to.
Not very many people can beat Brandon Moreno. Okay.
Yeah. That was one of the best things ever. UFC did was add those light those smaller divisions, man. Because just like boxing, some of those fights are so damn good.
Yeah. I also feel bad for Faber too, because like, of all guys to like, not be able to beat, you have to, not be able to beat, a fucking dickhead like Dominic Cruz.
Yeah, like everybody liked Uriah Faber too, you know, and it was like. It was a big deal when he came over, you know. I still think it's cool that they put him in the Hall of Fame in that modern era because he did a lot, I think, name-wise.
Yeah.
If he didn't, you know, even if you don't want to look at him, you know, he went 35-11, had a hell of a career. But he kind of was one of those guys who got mainstream and I think really helped out. And I think that's part of the reason that UFC took a liking in tried to start buying and bringing in these kind of guys.
Yeah.
Ooh, Sean O'Malley finally made the top 5 pound for pound list.
Did he? Do you have the pound the top 10?
Yeah, I can get it for you.
Yeah, let's check out the pound. I'm curious about the UFC and boxing's pound for pound list. I'm going to pull up that boxing one. Well, you're pulling that up. Elijah, if I were to ask you, who do you think ESPN has as the number one pound for pound in the world?
Boxing?
NUA.
Yep. Boxing?
I say NUA.
Jake Paul.
Naoya Inoue is number two.
So they have Crawford number one?
Yeah.
Okay, I was surprised. I'm surprised. I thought it would be reversed. I thought they'd have Inoue one and Crawford two.
I'm guessing because of the 40 wins, 31 knockouts, as opposed to the 26, 23.
Well, my choice looks better. Like my choice would be Crawford number one, yeah. Inoue number two. But ESPN usually always differs from what I think, though. So that's why I was like, it's got to be Inoue, because
I think part of the thing that helps too is Crawford. I think at the time of these was still with ESPN too, because he's just doing the Saudi Arabia show agreement with this new fight. So I think he was still being promoted. So I think both of the guys were being promoted by ESPN. That's why I would have thought Inoue would have been number one. But they got Usyk three, Canelo four, Bivol five, Devin Haney.
How is Canelo still so fucking high?
Because he's got 60 wins, man, and he's the biggest name in boxing.
I know, but he's not. Whatever.
I'm not saying. I wouldn't put Bivol over him. Bivol beat him.
I don't know. Like, him. I'm just saying. Like it just whatever. It's just like I get it, but it's dumb to me that he's not like a. He's probably. I don't even know if he's a top 10 guy right now. Maybe like,
but you also got to figure he's an undisputed champion too.
I know, but he also picks and chooses who he fights. And
it's the benefit of being that guy, you know, every bit agreed, you know, I hate all that. But when you're the guy, you get to call your shot and everyone's got to deal with it. I don't agree with it. Floyd Mayweather, it was the same thing with Mayweather. He's just following the trend, and he's doing smart business, and he's making a shit ton of money, and that's why, you know, and not what we want, but you're stuck with it. Now, you know, maybe everything
– Mayweather fought better competition, though. Like, Mayweather probably picked his guys, too, but – He fought better guys than Canelo does. Like
he did, but I also think he had better guys in his divisions he was in, too. I don't think super middleweight has nearly the competition that Floyd had when he was fighting at 140 and 147.
Yeah, but there's obvious guys that Canelo's like, I don't want to fight them, like David Benavidez.
Yeah. Yeah, and
David Morrell. I don't want to fight David Morrell.
You know, even, better be of. But, you know, you could say that about everybody. You know, I wish this guy would have fought that guy.
Yeah, me too, Doug.
They got Better B of seven, Tank at eight, Shakur at nine.
Tank is
Tyson
another guy I'm surprised
Fury
that's
at 10.
Tank is another guy that I'm surprised that's in the pound, that's on the pound for pound list. Cause
he's undefeated.
I know, but he's another guy that doesn't really.
You're right. I know where you're going to go with it, but
he's like,
he's
he
a draw.
Kinda Canelo, he kind of does the Canelo thing, but I'm saying like, I get what you're saying. I just don't agree. I don't agree with the list a lot of times,
no,
but I get what you're saying.
But that's the way, that to me is the exact purest boxer correct answer. I understand why the rankings are they are, but I don't like it. I don't agree with it. But that's just how it's always been, and it's always going to be. I'm right there with you.
Yeah,
I think Tank is really good too. I don't know why he like doesn't like challenge himself. You know what I mean?
At the end of the day, why if I can make $10 million and not get punched in the head, or make $10 million and potentially be in a war? Probably going to take the $10 million and not get punched in the head.
I get that. Then don't think you should be pound for pound. I'm just.
No, you're right. And this ultimately goes back to the one thing I always say to you, why UFC has the one thing they do better than boxing is there's one guy to make the choices.
One guy.
Yeah.
You know, and in boxing, when you have four governing bodies with probably 15 people in between making decisions. You now have 60 people making choices on top of the fighters and their coaches and promoters not wanting to work with fighters and promoters and coaches, and also don't want to fight people they don't think they can get wins over, regardless of comp. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it just, that's the one thing I if boxing had the UFC's structure, I don't think there's any sport in the world that could touch boxing. I think these guys would make three times the amount of money they're making, and they don't even realize it, because people would want to go see that. Let me ask you a question, Luke, real quick here. With the boxing compared to UFC, what's one of the things that makes, what doesn't appeal to you about boxing?
I don't know. I like the UFC like they use their whole body. Like, I like that you can kick, that you can grapple, that you can submit people.
So let me ask you this then. Do you feel like if you watch a UFC card, everything feels like a big fight because you know these guys and you see them getting wins and then having to fight each other and to kind of eat each other up to get to the top?
Yes. I also like how there's one UFC belt. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like boxing has like eight different heavyweight champions.
Yeah, there's the WBA, WBC, IBF, yeah. WBO, the IBF, WOA or BAO or whatever it is. You know, then there's the regulars,
That's the other thing. This is like every heavyweight is fighting to be the champion, and there's only one champion. And I just feel like it's faster moving, if that makes sense, too.
So that's where I think, like, I think people, and I don't know if this would be more attractive, but is just like that. Like, kind of like these heavyweights, how me and Eliza were all Jones about, you know, it's Usyk and Fury, it's Deontay Wilder and Zhang. You know, we're getting multiple heavyweights all keep fighting each other to try to eat each other up to get to one. If everything was like that, it'd be way more appealing, I would think, to you.
Yes.
And that's the one thing I wish we could get, man, because the way we preach about boxing to people, Elijah, if we had that in our back pocket, man, we'd bring everybody with us.
Yeah.
You know, like, could you imagine if every card on this was a rankings type fight? You would have people wanting to get up, fight more. I can't get up to the payday if I don't do this. Because I think right now the heavyweight division is a lot like 140 was back maybe three, four years ago when we were regularly doing standing eight count. And every time there was a fight in that division, it was two top 10 guys. Heavyweights are doing that now. And that's probably the best thing for boxing, is having heavyweights, because that's always what attracts. But it's like, if they can get this right, the heavyweight, why doesn't everyone else start trying to go online? And maybe we get there with all the unified champions, I guess, but I don't know. It scares me when we see Fox not showing boxing anymore, and HBO gets out of boxing, and Showtime gets out of boxing, and, you know, all these stations keep not showing it, we keep losing access to it. It's like, some point, something's got to give, and we got to figure that out.
Yeah. Well, we got Jake Paul and Mike Tyson coming up.
Hell yeah,
on
brother.
Netflix.
The Canelo is on Amazon Prime pay-per-view, the Canelo fight. Because Amazon's paid for Canelo now. They bought Canelo's next four fights, I think.
Wow.
And they don't know what the hell they're doing, so that he's just going to get to pick who he wants to fight. So I'm sure be ready for that one.
Yay.
This DeBome dude is getting his ass beat. This is violent. This dude's got a – who's this? I've never seen this dude, Bully. I've seen the name, but I never watched him fight.
Oh, he's a goon.
He's one of those Eastern European guys I like, right?
Yeah.
Like, I believe he's from Evgen Heitrov.
Oh God, I believe he's Kazakh, if I'm not mistaken.
Dude, that's one thing I don't think he's going to get a lot of credit for. But how much did Golovkin do for bringing fighters from that area and country in that are good?
He did a lot. I mean, there wasn't really many really good Kazakh fighters before him. Besides, I think what's his face, who was in that crazy ass brawl with Tim Bradley, Provodnikov.
Oh, Ruslan Provodnikov.
Oh, I think he was.
Awesome. That's a fight you should watch, Luke. By the way.
Oh, should I?
And it's good too because some of these dudes just can bang, man. Like, hell yeah!
But I mean, yeah, like it seems like after Golovkin kind of came along, it seems like more have come out, like Lipinye and Janabek and
look at the 175 guys.
But Shimonov, he's pretty good. Yeah, there's.
Look at Usyk.
Yeah.
You know, Usyk like
Usyk's from Ukraine.
Yeah, but I mean though that Eastern European kind of conglomerate of guys, you know, better be of the Vol even, like just as a whole like area.
Okay, I thought you were more going Kazakh guys.
I mean, obviously his homeland too, but I mean like. There was not this influx of many guys from Eastern Europe, you know, at the top, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
No.
Golovkin was that dude who got people, I think, back into boxing, too.
Yeah.
Still a nasty head, but well, I don't think we're going to have this second interview. So I don't know. We got either any other topics you guys want to talk about, or we could send it home and just watch the pay-per-view.
Where did you find that Vikings news set, Luke?
I don't fucking know. I exited off of it now.
Oh.
Hi,
okay. Whatever.
Whatever, brother.
I'm trying to Google. But I don't even know. Somebody,
I think it was Jason Lockhanfora.
What is this? This is. I had heard about the Vikings trying hard for AR on draft night. Did you guys hear about this? I don't know where this popped up.
Oh, Anthony Richardson? Yeah, like last year, supposedly.
Vikings tried to trade 5 future first-round picks with Danielle Hunter for Anthony Richardson, and the Colts said no.
I heard that they supposedly went after him, but I didn't hear 5 first-round picks. Are you fucking kidding me? And Danielle Hunter? Are you kidding me?
I don't think that's got to be real.
I believe that they could have maybe inquired about Anthony Richardson or tried to like inquire about moving up for him, but yeah, 5 first round picks. Are you fucking
a bold Vikings trade to draft 1 quarterback? So this is from Fansided, Christopher Klein.
Fansided.
Fansided. There you go.
That's where all of our writers come from that we have on as our guests.
I know they do, but like, that's a very outrageous thing.
I'm not talking about the Anthony Richardson thing.
Oh, you're not okay.
I'm over that. I was saying that somebody said that apparently they have a play in yes with number 3 turn to England and are in love with Drake May.
The Vikings are.
Chase Daniels said it.
Oh, Chase Daniel, he's good. He said that the Vikings are in love with Drake May.
It says,
I mean,
Vikings. So the pick thing would be 11-23 and a next year's first for number three and a 2025 third.
Ick.
Mm-hmm.
Ick.
I don't like it.
I mean, if that's their guy, that's their guy, but I hope it fucking works out.
Oh, I don't know.
Show's over.
I was watching who's the NBA guy who used to be on ESPN and he's on Fox now?
I have no idea.
What is his name?
NBA guy.
He's a light-skinned dude.
Michael Smith.
He's got really short hair. He talks like this, like Cat Williams a little bit.
Chris.
He's got a goatee.
Yeah,
Chris
Broussard.
Oh, I could not think of his. There was literally a pop-up window as I was talking about it of him. Like the internet was trolling me and shit. I swear to God, I could see his face. And Nick Wright did his mock draft, and he was talking about New England taking J.J. McCarthy at three. And Chris Broussard's like, why would you just give them Mac Jones 2.0 was his take on McCarthy. And he's like, didn't you just draft and trade this guy?
I mean, it tracks. He is kind of Mac Jones-like.
Yeah. So that kind of scared me when he said that about having J.J. McCarthy here now.
I know the offense and the way Jim Harbaugh like ran things weren't indicative to like a high volume passing game and like real flashy stuff. But I mean, if Harbaugh knew he had a guy who could take more responsibility, wouldn't he give him more? Like, I don't know, man.
I've never heard that I think is interesting. What do you think of that take, Luke? What's your feeling on that?
What take? I didn't hear it.
Luke's checked out.
It's 420, brother.
Dear God. No, I had said that they are saying McCarthy is Mac Jones 2.0. And Elijah said, as much as they talk about it, you would think if he was as good as everybody talks about that they would have used him more in that offense and didn't have to, you know, work or not use him.
I don't know. I think if you have a system in place, I guess, like, why give him more responsibility than the system requires?
But why would you, but like, if you had a quarterback who was worth like a third overall pick, why would you not have him throw the ball at all in the second half and just run the ball the entire second half?
Because you got Blake Corum, baby. Greatest running back in the world.
I guess my only devil's advocate thing I'll say is they went 15-0 and won the national championship, so something was done right.
I get that.
But the other side of me is on your side. Like, you know, it would have been nice to see him do some things too.
I mean, he does some things, but I just,
you know, win me the game.
He did. He won the national championship.
Michigan Wolverines won the national championship.
Last I checked, he was a Michigan Wolverine.
But he didn't win. He didn't win the game by himself.
No,
and he didn't do as much as other people on the team to win the game.
Both quarterbacks stunk in that game.
Yeah, Michael Penix was not good in that game either.
Wasn't it only like a 10-7 game?
Yeah.
No.
I thought it was like a really low scoring game.
No.
It was like. Did Michigan score like 24 or something? I don't.
Maybe. National championship. I don't know why I thought
34-13.
Yeah, Michigan blew them out. Yeah.
Okay, well,
well,
I knew Washington.
It was 14-3. It was 14-3 first quarter, and then it was 10-17.
Oh, they got
second
two
quarter
touchdowns.
And then third quarter, they both scored a field goal. In the fourth quarter, yeah, they got a couple chunk touchdowns. So
that's
what, yeah, like the score, so they didn't funny. Like.
Yeah. And Blake Corum got the MVP, Will Johnson as well. I don't see J.J. McCarthy on there.
Oh, Blake Corum.
What did Yeah, J.J. McCarthy went 10 for 18, 140 yards, and no touchdowns.
He did what he had to win the national title.
Michael Penix went 27 for 51, 255 yards, a touchdown, and two picks with -5 rushing yards.
The college football, though, does count negative rushing yards like as sacks. So if you take sacks, you get negative rushing yards.
He had three carries, it says. I don't know what they were. J.J. McCarthy had four carries, 31 yards. Blake Corum had 21 carries for 134. And he had, and then that Donovan Edwards dude broke those two touchdowns, too. That didn't help.
He averaged 17 yards a carry.
Yeah, he had a 41 and a 46-yarder in the first quarter. And then Corum got two junk touchdowns at the end of the game. Yep, that's what it was. In the final, like, 2.5 minutes.
I'm just saying, like, people can say all they want, like, oh, well, J.J. McCarthy has a national championship. He won a national championship. That's fine, but, like, would Michigan have won, like, they probably could have won without him. It's not like he's good, but to me, it's not like he's as indispensable part of the team as like Blake Corum in the offensive line and the defense was. He was just kind of there to help out, and that's not a quarterback who I want to draft at number three.
You know, so, who also won a national championship? Matt Leinart.
Mac Jones.
Mac Jones, which is. J.J. McCarthy might be Mac Jones 2.0.
Get the fuck out of here.
I don't know. This draft, I can't wait for next Thursday. It's here. It's almost there. Everywhere.
On Bo Nix.
J.J. McCarthy is Bo Nix without the stats.
Now I'm Bo Nix, brother. Motherfucker completed 80% of his passes last year.
He also threw 30% of his passes were thrown behind the line or at the line of scrimmage.
That's fine.
30%.
I want that guy, Bo Nix. 80% completion rate, baby. Let's go.
Man, this show is starting to go downhill. I think it's time to call it.
He threw for the most touchdowns, too, last season. Let's call this guy is fucking tight.
Catch me outside. How about that?
That's who I want. I want Bo Nix. Yeah.
Luke.
Michael Penix Jr. only completed 65% of his passes.
Only 65 because he threw downfield.
Yeah, he was like his what was his average like attempt like 11 or 12 yards or something.
Hold on a second. Average, is that what this stands for? YA yards average?
I think so.
He averaged 11 yards per.
Kirk Cousins is like an eight per yard per attempt guy.
Bo Nix was 10, so Bo Nix was only a yard less.
But, again, 30% of Bo Nix passes were behind or at the line of scrimmage.
That's fine. Christian Ponder 2.0, let's go.
Got him!
Oh, man. All right, I'm heading. I'm out. I'll talk to you. The show is over.
are you going online, Elijah?
I don't know. Maybe.
Man, get your ass online and let's watch this fight.
I might be watching a TV show with Alicia.
Yeah, Bo Nix threw with 8 less interceptions too than Michael Penix. This Bo Nix guy is tight as fuck. I think you guys.
He needs some milk.
I think, man, you guys were just getting me off of him, man. Let's go,
no.
Bo Nix. Let's go, baby.
Goodbye.
We'll catch y'all. I'll catch y'all. He left. He's out.
Man, this Bo Nix guy might not be a not bad pick.
I told you he was gonna. All right, we'll catch y'all next Wednesday. We got the live draft show.
No, I'm saying I'm talking about Bo Nix.
All right, well, I'll let you finish the episode then.
All right, peace out, everyone. Bye.